Going. Almost forgot.
How are you?
Doing really good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So I was hoping to get coached on self-sabotage and binging today.
Okay.
So would you like me to start with my background or just get right into it?
Well, let me just tell you my theory. Backgrounds don't matter.
They don't matter, right?
At all. The more you guys bring your background, the more you reinforce and perpetuate, I've got a problem. And here's all the reasons why you need to know this, because like, this is serious. And it's like, oh, we have a binge today. Why did we binge? We had an urge and we ate and we responded. I mean, like if we keep it simpler, it's so much easier for you. So, and it's not because I don't want to hear it. It's more, I don't want you to hear it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
So,
okay.
You can give me a little bit of background if you want to, but otherwise you can just tell me like, where are you at now with all this?
Yeah. So I am an April baby. I've been listening to you since February and I just love you. So I started in April and you're kind of windy. And I've sort of been going up and down with about 5 pounds since starting. And I mean, I've assessed and I know what it is. So the first couple of days of the week I do great. Mm-hmm. I stay on plan. Last week I was 5 out of 7 days on plan, but those 2 days were just a mess of binging or like telling myself I can't do this. And, I'm just noticing that there's a pattern and I really want to break it and I want to stop quitting on myself because it's clearly that's why I'm stuck right now. And so,
let me ask you this. What is the bigger thing you want to solve? Do you want to lose weight or do you want to quit binging? Because I'm going to tell you, when you're going to quit binging, you cannot focus on your weight loss.
So it's one or the other. Is that what you mean?
One or the other. Let me tell you why. Because most of the time, bingers are like setting themselves up to binge by the way they're trying to lose weight.
Okay.
Even when you're doing my shit. You'll like have the same ass thoughts. You'll be obsessed about food. You'll have like, you know, I have good days and bad days. You just got through saying I'm so good the first couple of days. And it's like, you're not good. Right. You're just eating. Right. You're either on plan or you're off plan. There's no statement of your morality going on. So like, I'm curious.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I think it's you. I'm going to blame you. Let me ask you, do you want to lose weight or do you want to quit binging? Which one would be the most important thing?
I'm sorry. Say that one more time. We were breaking up a little bit.
Yeah. I think you're having some reception issues. If you had to pick one, like we're only going to solve one thing. Doesn't mean for the rest of your life you don't get to solve the other one. It means like right now, the most important thing for me to gain authority over is what? Binging or losing some weight? I think your connection is just terrible. All right, I see you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think if I had to pick one, it would absolutely be the binging.
Okay.
Because
why are you not just picking it?
I feel like if I could stop the binging.
Yeah.
If I can stop the binging, then I can then focus on my weight loss because I feel like the binging is sabotaging the weight loss, right?
Well, yeah, it's for sure sabotaging the weight loss, but you gotta have, like, this is the problem. It's like, you gotta identify why you want to stop binging. To lose weight? Like, why do you want to quit binging?
Because I feel really shitty about myself when I do it, and it's taking away from my life. It's taking away from my enjoyment of work, of my husband, of just daily life. I mean, it's distracting me and taking me out of life, basically.
And now tell me why you want to lose, like, tell me just why you want to lose weight.
I want to feel good about myself. I want to be able to work out like I used to, which was a little more aggressively. And, I want to look good.
Yeah. But here's the
problem. I just want to feel good about myself.
Okay. So you get to feel good about yourself, whether you binge or whether you're at your current weight. And that is the connection that you're missing right now. You're not working on actually liking yourself and feeling good about yourself because you're using your weight and you're binging against yourself. That has to stop.
Right.
You have got, like, this is the thing with binge eaters, guys. And this is the thing with all of us when it comes to overeating. The more you set your environment up to be dependent upon habits that you're working on changing and stuff, they got to be right. So, I got to lose the weight and I got to be binging in order for me to be happy, in order to feel good about myself. You're doing it wrong. You have to start being happy with yourself and finding the things that bring you joy about yourself, you know, like all the things first. Because then you'll be compelled to not binge. Then you'll be compelled to lose the weight for the right reasons. The other thing I wanted to show you is that, like, your whys for ending the binging are so much stronger in the way you talk about it than the weight loss. That's why I don't want you focused on weight loss, because right now it is a distraction to, like, really working on the binge, like, owning this is fucking my life up. Like, here's everything I want in my life. And those binges are totally standing in the way. And I've got to be, like, all in on the binging and forget this weight loss bullshit. Like, I don't need to be thinking about workouts, and I don't need to be thinking about, like, being sexy and hot. You know what I need to be thinking about? How do I love myself now so that I don't feel like I need to binge for whatever reason I'm binging for?
Right. It's so true. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, it's just interesting to hear you say that my whys for binging are so much stronger than weight loss, because now that you say it, like, I don't really care that much about the weight loss. It's about what the food is doing for me and, well, what I think it's doing for me, and how it's actually not my friend and how it's screwing up my life.
Yeah. It's like food is just food. And he just
says, so
he doesn't do anything to us. That's the thing. It's like, we think food is either our best friend or our mortal enemy. It's like, poor food. He just sits.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I kind of thought I was just supposed to fuel your body and make sure you live a long time and felt good. Like, I mean, it's like it has such a bad rap, you know? And it's like, we put all these conditions on it.
Yeah.
Like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do a daily practice of really understanding the life that your binging is preventing you from leading.
Okay.
And then I want you to think about, like, the only, like, when I'm going to have the urge to binge, why am I having the urge to begin with? Like, what is it? Like, I'm going to tell you, a large part of it is habit. Next month, when we urge month, I want you to really go through the urge month. I think it's going to be super beneficial for you, because we're going to break the tie between, like, I've always been a binger, or, like, I was brought up this way, or all these things that we blame. And it's like, no, here's what we're doing. We're having an intense food urge right now. And it's in this moment that I have to, like, reconcile with it. And this is what my brain's doing. And these are the things it likes to say. And I'm going to learn how to be in that moment and learn how to not respond to it anymore. No more beating yourself up for a binge ever. That has to become a non-negotiable now. I see you. Yeah. That means you do it.
I do. So bad.
Yeah.
So bad. But yeah, I've and doing through this process, I've noticed some of the time it's more of a habit at this point than doing anything for me. And so, would you suggest just telling myself, stop it, quit it?
Yeah. Like, the moment you, I want you to think about a few things. When you binge, Because it's not going to turn off overnight. Like we're not going to like say all this and then you're going to be like, oh my God, Corinne, I'm just going to let you know I'm the one that never binged ever again. It's still going to happen. Right. But I want you to like say like, of course it happened because I still have something to learn about unwinding these urges. That's all mm-hmm. that's happening here. This is not me being a terrible person. This is not me. I'm never going to solve this. This is screwing up my weight. Like all that shit's going to come in. And that's when you just be like, nope. Nope, of course I would think that. I'm very conditioned to think this way, and I'm conditioning myself to think a new way. Like, I want you to make it just such a process.
Okay.
And, like, so go ahead.
I was going to say, so typically it's after dinner time when I want to do this, but it's, like I said, it's become a habit. So my thoughts are maybe doing, a TDL during that time and just TDLing when I'm feeling that urge afterwards and maybe making a model and, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you can do all those things. What'd you say? You've actually gone and done what?
I've gone to a dietitian and they recommended using something else. So like a low calorie snack. I don't know if you've ever heard that. But
well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing of me of doing like the problem is you're seeing a dietitian. Her specialty is not to get you to quit binging.
Right, right.
Her specialty is mm-hmm. to teach you how to eat to lose weight or to teach you how to like have healthy foods and stuff. It's not that her advice is wrong. It's just so I want you to think about the model. She's given you action line stuff to do. She's not requiring you to start thinking mm-hmm. differently. Even if you have mm-hmm. a low-calorie popcorn snack, in the face of a binge, is it going to be like, oh, but I got popcorn now?
No, I need for the bag.
Right? It's going to
eat the damn bag.
It's like your old conditioning is going to come through. The real work is sitting there and listening to what you say to yourself. The first mm-hmm. stage of ending your binging is to literally get so cozy with the conversation you have that puts you into the binge. So many of you, what happens is you've got like this one sentence you say, and it's like the one that starts it all. It's like, mm-hmm. listen for all of it. I just got through reading a book, and this is what I want you to do. Everybody's going to ask, what's the book? It's Mel Robbins. It's Audible. It's called Take Control of Your Life. This was not about binging, though. But what she said was, I want you to, when it's time, like when you normally have it, I want you to count down from 90, the number 90. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do it for this reason. When your body, like, this is what, y'all will learn this part next month. But when it's time to have an urge, your brain is going ahead and pre-sending some dopamine out. It's mm-hmm. already looking forward to it. It already knows what to say because it's said it so many times and you're probably not hearing it and you're probably not even fully experiencing it yet. It's just like, does it ever feel like you just kind of just start? It's like, well, I thought I waited, but sometimes like I don't even wait. I just like next thing I know, I'm just eating and stuff. So your brain, basically your brain is like, ooh, it's like 8 o'clock or, you know, whatever the patterns are. It goes mm-hmm. ahead and starts going like, well, we always eat and we always think these things. And so let's get dopamine going. And then on top, let's just throw some cortisol in there just in case tonight's the night she's going to try to think about it for a little bit. It's like the cortisol. Mm-hmm. So dopamine is the feel good, get you giddy about it. The cortisol is the one that gives you some anxiety just to, it's like a safety net. It's like just
it is anxiety. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, it sends out both. It's because your brain literally doesn't want to change its habit. That's all. It thinks it's mm-hmm. under attack. And when it thinks it's under attack, like, what are we doing? We're not going to do this. It will send out the cortisol for you. It's normal, mm-hmm. not weird. It's like just how you're designed.
Okay.
We're all designed the same way. Otherwise, you'd be like a vegetable. And we're not patient. You know how you feel about food. So you get both of those going. Then your habit brain starts thinning out your thoughts. The problem that most of us don't understand is that the cortisol burns off in about 90 seconds. but it takes like a minute and a half for it to burn off. And it can't just keep sending it because it would literally fry our nervous system out. Like you can only have so much cortisol pulsing through your veins at one time. So if you count down from 90, what that does is it allows the cortisol to burn itself out. And during that time, your conscious brain, the one that like says, I really want to stop binging because it's taking so much from my life. This is the life I'd like to have. It has a moment to get engaged. When we don't take a break at all and we just listen to the thoughts that are just like driving us from our unconscious brain, our conscious brain is like, it can't engage. It can't argue for us. It can't reason. It can't do its job. We have to have a tripwire to turn it on. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to count down from 90 when you have the urge. And then I want you to sit there and I want you to think about all the reasons why you want to end your binging. Now, if you still decide to eat after that, I want you to tell yourself, fine. But this is the process I now do to get there.
Okay.
And that will, that will
absolutely.
And you'll know.
I do want to share with you because you've helped me so much with this already. But, so my mother-in-law sent us a bunch of candy from Easter. My, we weren't home for Easter. So, so she, every year gets us bags and bags of candy and Reese's damn those Reese's eggs favorite. And, so last night I put it all in the cabinet above the microwave. And, I kept telling myself I can put it on my plan tomorrow. I can put it on my plan tomorrow. And I didn't eat any. I'm so proud of myself for that.
Well, and that is so key. So like, and I want all of you to hear this because this is one of the things I'm going to do with the Don't Stop Believing people is that one of the other things that your brain loves is when you reinforce when things are going right in written form. Your brain makes such an emotional connection to anything that you're willing to write. Like it loves when you unload the bullshit. It thinks it's done something with it. It's like, oh, now I don't have to think about it so much. It feels like we process it. But it also loves when you write about the good things that you do. It like it solidifies the pride. It solidifies those feelings, gives off some dopamine, and it starts attaching that as like, oh, this might be a new behavior we want to have. Like, she seems to really enjoy it. She seems to really like it. It's not inducing cortisol. Like, she was thrilled, you know? That is what we want to do.
Yeah.
So for all of you, it's just as important to write about what's not going right as it is to write about what is. And to always be on the hunt for the things that are and make a big fucking deal out of them. Because like, I know binge eaters, y'all make such a big fucking deal out of the binge eating that every time you do something right, it's like barely a confetti goes up. It's like, here's my one sprinkle. It's like, no, we need to make a big fucking deal about
and
that.
Then you're,
Yeah, like think about it as much as you would think about binging. Be willing to think about that stuff as much, if not harder, than you would ever on your binging. Okay?
Okay. Yes. Sounds great.
So you get
I think I have a plan.
Yeah, and you get to still do your 24-hour plans and all that kind of stuff. I just want you to do them in a way that like releases all your food rules. Like literally, all your food rules are gone. Whatever you've got, I just want you to plan so lovingly and so caring for yourself. Like I want every single plan you make is always putting you first and showing you love, showing you compassion. And sometimes that means, Kelly, we're not losing weight right now. We're getting authority over our life. We're normalizing our relationship with food. We're normalizing the relationship we have with ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing here. All right, lady. Thank you.
Okay. Absolutely. That sounds great.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. We have Shawnee. Are you here? Karen. Alexis's connection is crazy. We also have Kara or Kara. I have two Karens actually. Are any of y'all here? Oh, Laura, Christina. Let me just read everybody off. Shawnee, Karen, Brandy, Laura, Christina, Karen, and Cara. Any of you here, I will call on you. If you're not here, I have a heart attack. And nobody needs me to have a heart attack before I go to the thing. All right. I had a lot of people raising their hand and not a single one of them, the people who signed up. Okay, I'm just going to start calling on people then. Dana, you're next. Make sure if your hand's raised, it's because you actually want to get coached. I don't want to call on somebody and they'd be in the potty. All right, Dana, what are we coaching
on? Hey, I got to give it to Betsy, actually. She did line me up to be on your list. I think somehow I got missed.
Yeah, I was going to say because you're not on the list, but let's do it.
Amen to that. So, Corinne, I hate being the breadwinner. I hate being the breadwinner.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Me again.
Yes. I was like, why do you look so familiar?
I love it. It's me again.
So, you're still not loving being the breadwinner.
I hate it just as much as the last time we talked.
It's so hilarious. Do you know today I had to go live in the baby tribe? I'm not the baby tribe, the groupies, because people were throwing shade on me about being the breadwinner. I was like, oh no, I love it.
Okay, look, this is, I personally love other women doing it. I did a back of envelope calculation once of what I think you're making, and it's beautiful. But for myself personally, I find that I resent it and I eat the resentment. And what's been going on with me, so I started about 50 pounds and I'm about 15 from goal now, so I'm getting closer. It's like peeling away the layers of the onion, right? Like, you know, getting rid of all of the toxic thoughts and other topics. And now I'm on this one. So
why do you resent it? Like, tell me your thought around, like, that drums up resentment. So, okay. And I'm the breadwinner, I'm going to tell you, is a thought. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to you.
All right.
But it's actually, like, if we were going to be, like, real model professionals, we would just, like, put exactly what you make versus what your husband makes in the circumstance line, because that's what's really going on. You've assumed the thought of being the breadwinner about the difference between how much money the two of you make. But so that you don't have to tell everybody this is how much money I make, you know, let's just call it like, I'm just going to work.
Okay. Is it safe to say you make
more money?
Yeah. Well, when we got married 12 years ago, we made about the same.
Okay.
And today I make 7 times what my husband makes.
Okay. So we'll use that as the circumstance. I make 7 times what my husband makes. Mm-hmm. And your thought is I'm the breadwinner.
My thought is I'm the breadwinner.
And why does it bother you?
Why do you think? Because honestly, this is so vulnerable what I'm about to say.
Do it.
I think I really wanted Prince Charming to ride up on the white horse one day.
And because
for some reason, I always thought there was a reason he wasn't. You know, like, my husband's a lovely man, but I expected a level of caretaking and a level of safety and security that never came.
Well, that was your problem. That's not his problem.
Yeah.
What's amazing to me is, like, do you need him to provide safety and security? Are you lacking that?
I think I am. I think I really wanted him to. At some point in my life, I really wanted a man to provide that for me.
Why do you not, like, because here's the thing. Husbands can never provide safety and security.
Really?
It's a feeling. So what provides feelings?
Thoughts.
Yeah. So unless he's going to drop thoughts in your head and be like, oh, I have some extras. Here you go. You're hosed by yourself.
Yeah.
You're not creating safety and security for you. And that's the problem. That's why you resent him. He's an easy target. And the money thing becomes the easy target. Like, this is how I'm going to distract from working on myself.
Yeah, that's probably valid. I agree with you.
So what? Why are you
very hard
unsafe and insecure?
Say again, I'm so sorry.
Why are you feeling so unsafe and insecure? What creates that for you?
I guess that saying about how comparison is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of it is I work in an industry where I'm surrounded by these really bright, high-performing, high-earning guys. And I watch what their wives are doing and the kind of, you know, mothers that they are. And I realize I'm never going to be able to have that opportunity. I'm always going to feel like I got all these balls in the air. I never feel overwhelmed. I never feel confused. I totally get what's going on. But I feel this really toxic thought around, I rip myself off. I married for love. He's a very good guy. He treats me nicely, supportive of me. We've had a very harmonious marriage. Everything wasn't perfect because I was 50 pounds overweight. So let's speak to the fact that there were problems. But I'm at this point now where I wonder, did I sell myself short? You know, and I need to reframe my thinking around my husband, my thinking around money, because I'm coming up on 40. We have three amazing daughters. And I just still feel like when I think about this, I feel the tightness in my chest. It's a very visceral feeling for me that I missed out and I made a decision that is going to hurt me over the long term. And because I shoulder all of the load of this, our family's financial survival, basically myself.
Yeah, but like, I want you to like, when we get done, I really want you to go back and listen, because I want you to hear all the times that you were saying, I feel this way. And it's like you have decided to be an emotional child. You have decided that like, I would never feel this way if all these other things were different, rather than I am creating all my own feelings. Mm-hmm. I totally understand that this is all my creation. If you want to hold on to all that, you get to, but you have to quit blaming the people you work with, your husband, your choices, your, all these things, everything you feel today. Like the first thing you're going to, like, it wouldn't matter what I told you. Nothing will change until you're just like, I really see it's my thoughts about things. Because even when I asked you, like, what thoughts are generating this, you went to, well, it's all these guys I work with. Like, now they're the ones creating all my insecurity and all of my.
I trigger my own thoughts and feelings.
It's like you see guys, you see their wives and stuff, and that makes you think things. What I want you to do is to realize, like, that doesn't make me think things. Mm-hmm. Here's all the things I choose to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess that I'm broad. That's absolutely true. You're right. And I'm sorry. I'm seeing it come through in my journaling. I'm seeing it come through in my modeling. I'm kind of getting more of a command over it now. I guess at a higher level, it's like I've hit the moment where I'm philosophically thinking about, what am I willing to accept? What do I have to come to terms with and discipline my thoughts around and own? And where's the line where I say, I think it's just not acceptable to me?
I think here's the line. The first thing you have to do is figure out what line of thinking you think it's all him.
No, like, I don't think it's all him.
But I
acknowledges me.
Okay. Then here's what I want you to think. Like, when you say what's acceptable, what am I willing to tolerate and all that stuff? Do you mean in your life, or do you mean from yourself?
Both.
All right. Life doesn't, that's not it. You have to, it's got to be with self first. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. It's like, you're trying to back, like, no, I totally get it. It's all my thoughts. Except, I want to see what all I have to accept out there, because that's a bunch of shit. This is why I don't feel any.
What circumstances am I willing to live with?
Yeah, but the problem is you don't have circumstances yet. You have thoughts in the circumstance line. Here's how I know. You're judging them.
Oh, I'm the biggest judger.
Yeah. It's like, like, what do I need to tolerate?
Yeah.
So you don't have a clean circumstance.
I don't. You're right.
That's how I know. Like, you need to do the work on, like, what things am I willing to tolerate out of myself? What are my personal standards? Mm-hmm. What am I going to, and you're a strong ass woman. Like, you need to have that conversation of, like, here's this bullshit. Like, this is the weak woman. Like, I think other people are going to give me security and shit. It's like, I got to give it to myself first. All I'm doing is tearing myself down.
Oh yeah. I look back and I'm like, I always thought, well, you know what? If I make enough money, this is not going to matter anymore. My pre-Corinne, pre-PNP life belief was around, well, if I just get successful enough, who cares, right? Then I got successful enough. Didn't go away.
Yeah. Because you're still wanting someone else to create your own feelings and thoughts for you.
Yeah. And I want to put this in the rear view for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's going to help me lose the last 15 pounds to put this one to bed. And then two, I have three daughters and I want to be a great role model for them. And I think they're pretty impressed by mom. I think they think mom's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing. You know, so
I think it's great.
There are some pros to it. I just, man, I really did love that idea of getting the white horse and getting swept off my feet. I really did love that idea.
But you know,
maybe I'm self-indulgently sitting in my dirty diaper mourning it a little bit.
I would totally, like, ask yourself, three daughters? You wouldn't have them without him. Daughters.
That's true. Without him and a lot of IVF.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You had a guy that was willing to like go through IVF with you. How many men are not willing to do that?
Yeah, he was. Heck of a journey. Bonded us a lot.
You need to find value in him. Unless you're leaving him. And if you're leaving him, then this is a moot conversation anyway.
Yeah, not leaving.
But if you're staying, are you staying? Are you like seriously, like when you say, like, I got to say what I can tolerate and bullshit like that, it's like.
I've never seriously considered divorcing him. He's a lovely man. I have no urge to divorce him.
Okay, then it's your job to fall in love with him.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not his job to be lovey-dovey. His job is to be who he is, and your job is to figure out how to love the fuck out of him. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I always tell people about Chris. Everybody always thinks like, you know, oh, it's easy to love the king. It's like, no, it's not. It's a job. If I want to have shitty thoughts about him, I could all day. I don't allow, that is the kind of behavior I do not tolerate out of myself. Mm-hmm. I would never want to think about the father of my child as someone I wasn't willing to go to the mat and to my grave loving every single day. I chose him. He didn't choose me. I chose him. I walked down the aisle. I did all of it.
Did you feel this way before? Did you feel that way before you went on the weight loss journey? Or did you find that you came to this realization as you did your thought work and lost the weight and moved along?
Which realization?
The realization that love was a choice and that you were going to invest whatever it took so that you were that level. Oh,
this was before thought work. I'll tell you the best example was when Logan was diagnosed with autism.
Right.
We went to this conference and they told us that 85% of the couples would end in divorce.
I'm amazed it's that low. I thought it'd be higher.
Oh my gosh. We looked at each other and we just said, no. Mm-hmm. Like we agreed. I still remember laying in the bed with him and crying. And we both said that will not be us. And we are going to figure out that how to make this marriage be strong and survive and be like the best. And I will tell you, the 5 years prior to that, we didn't even have that kind of marriage. Mm. It was okay. Mm. We were just getting through life, you know, sleepless nights. Logan wasn't an easy kid.
Right.
And when we got that diagnosis, we made this conscious decision that we were all in on each other, not just Logan. We were all in on each other. We both came from divorced families and we were just like, no, it will never happen. And we talked about it the other night. We were laughing about, we were just like sitting there talking and we were just tired and we'd worked all day. And I said, God, we work hard on this marriage like that. And he said, why do you say that? And I said, because you annoyed the fuck out of me today and I still love you.
I love it. I think my marriage was probably at a crux point much like that. I mean, we've been married 12 years. And we've had a lot of success. We've had the stress of fertility, but I would argue what you went through was more traumatic. Okay, and we haven't really been pressure tested in that way. And I think, like I said earlier, I'm peeling the onion and killing out some of the thinking in other areas of my life has me now kind of open to thinking through how I want my marriage to be. And like I said, I mean, for a long time I was keeping score. Maybe I think like a guy sometimes, right? You know, money's an easy way to keep score. And I've been in an industry where I keep score every day. I have a number on my screen right now. I know exactly how my day is going.
Well, and that, I think you just said something so amazing. And when you watch this, I want you to hear your own wisdom come out.
Oh, really?
Because you just got through saying about how like you, I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but essentially, like you were talking about your marriage and I forget what it is. You just said it. Shit, I wish I could just rewind right now. But it, like, the baseline of it was like, this is my marriage and this is like, I've got to decide. And sometimes I think like a dude and it's like, you got to think how you want to think about it.
Yeah.
Like that is really what it's going to come down to is you taking the time to understand like this is one of the best exercises you can do. And it's super simple. This is the story I tell myself about my marriage. This is the story I want to start telling myself about my marriage. And then you keep rewriting that story and rewriting that story, and you never are allowed to say, I'm the breadwinner ever again. You're never allowed to think he was supposed to be Prince Charming. You know who he was supposed to be? This man. Mm. Prince Charming was never coming. If you want Prince Charming, you need
there's
to watch this one, Prince
there's
Charming.
A lot I'm going to have to write out of this story, you know, because I've told you some of it, but it is, people have fat girl thinking. I have like bitter married girl thinking sometimes, right? Bitter married girl thinking is like, man, he's getting a sweet ride, isn't he? Wouldn't I be loved?
Yes.
Wouldn't I be loved?
He is.
He's getting a sweet ride. He's a lucky man.
He you know, is.
I've got to reframe that. I've got to change that up my story. So well,
what is so sad about your story is that when you say all that about him, you think mm-hmm. it diminishes him. It totally diminishes you.
Totally. That's why I called in. That's why I raised my hand.
Yeah. It like
if it was just him, I wouldn't care.
Yeah. It takes everything away from your own self-worth. Mm. Like, of course he has a sweet ride. Cause I'm the fucking one who's good at earning money.
Very.
Like, I will just like, for fuck's sake, no one say this on the internet. Chris is retiring Friday.
Rock on. Congrats.
I will now be the breadwinner.
Yeah.
I will now be all the things. He is going to teach Logan how to be a coder.
That's fabulous. Yeah, my husband's kind of partially. He's a teacher. He was in a much higher stress job, and we made a choice so that he could be more present with the girls. We made that together, and I own my piece of that.
You just, so, like, I really think that if you decide you want to fall in love and be very in love with your husband, you can do that. But you have to get out of your way first.
This is true. I have recruited some help. I've recruited a lot of friends.
That's good. I want you to think about like your weight loss. Like in order to lose your weight, you had to get out of your own way to do that. You had to redefine the relationship with you and the relationship you had with food and all those things. It's like, for God's sakes, if we can do it with food, we know we can do it with a husband.
Yeah. I think I started in this very emotionally immature.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Okay. But I've come a long way. You know, this is the approach to the landing runway now.
When this
Speaking
is
up, I'm flying into Nashville tomorrow. I'm bringing my best friend. So for all of you that are watching this, the guy that comes off the airplane, the large flamboyant looking one, is not the teacher.
Are you doing the race?
No, yeah.
Oh my God, how did I not know this? Well, I don't have like the list all like memorized, but mm-hmm. so you're not doing 2 days.
See if
you're
I can get that 5K done under 30. I should come in around like 29 or so.
Oh shit. I'm going to have to like be paying attention because I'm going to have
to. We're going to bet on next year.
Well, we're having the pre-race or the post-race food brought in after you guys start. So y'all can't see what it is because that's why it's something special.
I love it.
So now we're going to have to ask, you're going to be hauling ass.
With nachos. I'm like, there's going to be nachos. He goes, I'm in.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's going to be so good. You're going to love it.
I appreciate your counsel on this vulnerable topic.
Do the story. Like do the two stories. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is, start every day, make your list of things I'm thinking that I'm like saying, I'm going to be a kid right now. And this is because somebody or something made me feel this way. And it's like, no, like this is all me. I take full ownership of it. You may want to hang on. This is the thing I want you to understand and everybody else understand. When you create all that, don't be in a rush to change all the thoughts. Like I'm just going to own that I feel shitty because I think this. And then when you're ready, you change it.
And looking for my pen so I can write down with my pen of fire what you just said.
My pen of fire. That's awesome. I know you're a hardcore listener when you say stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to write all the thoughts and you're going to tell yourself that you are not going to be in a rush to change them. You're going to sit with them and just really understand, this is me. This is me. This is me. Mm-hmm. This is not him. This is not him. This is not him. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to tell the story that you're telling now. And you're going to tell the story that you want to be telling about your relationship. Mm-hmm. It's growing into that.
Yeah. Like losing weight.
Yes. And I will see you tomorrow.
Excellent. Probably in the hall. Looking forward to it.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Bye. All right.
See you then.
All right. Oh, let's see. Who's next? Shawnee, if you're here, Karen Leary, Karen Peters, you all were on the list. Christina was on the list. Laura Wiley, you were on the list. Cara Velasco. Any of you are here, you can get coached. If not, I'm going to have to be going to the hotel pretty soon. If you want to get coached, just raise your hand since none of my people who signed up are here. Only raise your hand if you actually want to get coached. All right, Vicky. You're up. Gosh, I should just start telling everybody, just show up and I just start calling on people.
How lucky am I?
I know. Some of these people, they just don't even understand the value they're missing out on.
Yeah, no kidding.
How are you, my friend?
I am doing really, really well. I'm just this is self-care. So I'm like listening live. So I'm like, all right, I'll chime in. I was listening. You were coaching somebody and you were talking about your thoughts of gravity on the aging body. And I'm 56. So this has been something that's coming up for me because last October I had breast reduction and I love it. I'm like, oh, that's so nice. And I could see how people can get addicted to plastic surgery and all this kind of stuff. That's the only thing I've ever had so far. I'm between 150 and 155. And recently after listening to one of Kathy's, I don't know if it was your podcast or whatever about making goals. I wouldn't even write down what I would love to weigh. And I don't know if it's realistic or not, but I'm like, I got to at least write it down on paper and see if I, as I clean up little things and level up the 1%, if my body wants to go there or not. So I started writing down the 142, but what caught my attention was the time that you said, you know, you're like, oh, I'm looking at my body and it's like gravity. And like, so I have that as well, that, you know, like in this area, there's gravity and there's, you know, 142 may or may not be realistic, even with cleaning up, you know, a little bit more and a little bit more. So I kind of wondered how can I start to address that? Thinking of, because I don't want to just start becoming a person that's like, oh, I'm going to go have the freezing thing done on the fat and that's going to go away in this area and that. And oh, I'm going to work out. Like, it took me like a long time to clear my head and get to a good place about doing this. And it was because I was in this tribe that I became okay with, yes, I should do this. So can you help me with how to start thinking about, like, I know I rambled.
Your body?
Yeah, my body. And, you know, maybe I feel like I have very good self-talk and I see myself in a picture and I'm like, oh yeah, that's an angle. You know, I'm like, that's what I look like, you know, and I move on.
What do you want to like think about?